Well, thank you for your hospitality today. That really was a splendid breakfast, great eggs and sausage and coffee. I wasn't quite clear whether I was getting regular or decaf, so if I fall asleep during the sermon, we may have an answer to the question. But really, thank you so much for opening your doors and being so friendly and welcoming to us here today. I don't know which scripture passages you've been reading here in West Lebanon the last couple of weeks, but over on the other side of town, we have been spending a lot of time with the sixth chapter of the Gospel of John. And we began our exploration of this very rich text with the feeding of the 5,000, the people who come to hear Jesus teach and turn the loaves and the fishes into abundant food for everybody present. And the folks were really excited by what Jesus did, and they wanted to make him king. And that wasn't Jesus' agenda, so he decided to leave, to go away. And he walked on the water, remember that, with the disciples being really surprised. And then he came to the other side of the lake, and the people who had been fed had tracked him down, because Jesus clearly could do something for them. And Jesus told them that you came for me not because of the signs I performed, but because I put bread into your stomach. And then he said, I am the bread of life. This is the first of his I am statements, and those were contentious words. That was a big claim for him to be making. Which brings us to today's lesson. Those folks from the other side of the lake were gone. The people who had seen him perform the miracle had gone home. The people here in Capernaum were people who went to the synagogue. Perhaps you'd recognize them. They were essentially church people. They were just like all of you and me. They knew the liturgy. They knew the rules. They knew when the meetings were held. They knew where the stuff was kept. It was what they did all the time. And they knew people in the community. So when Jesus began to talk, and he began to preach, and he began to make these statements about being the bread of life, people said, wait a minute. We know this guy. This is Jesus. We know his father, Joseph. We know his parents. And unspoken was the implicit criticism. His father is a carpenter. His mother wasn't married when he was conceived. We don't have to listen to Jesus because he's a nobody. All of this talk about being the bread of heaven and coming from somewhere else, ignored. The people in the synagogue had pigeonholed Jesus. They discounted what he had to say because of who they thought he was. Now, back in the ancient world, lineage and genealogy was really important. You know that these lists of ancestors appear all over the Old Testament and the New Testament, and we see it in other cultures. It was important, particularly if you were the king. You wanted to show that you had a legitimate claim to the throne, and perhaps that you were descended from some deity. And nobles wanted to show that they too had special blood and stock. And in the Jewish community, the priests, the Levites, and the Kohens needed to show that they too had the right background so that they could do their work. Sometimes, sorting ourselves out, categorizing ourselves is okay. The fact is, we humans like to do that. And it can be helpful. So if you're a burger, you want to know who the burgers are so you're not hanging out with the rock climbers. And if you're a knitter, you probably want to know who the knitters are so you can go to a meeting rather than spend some time with people who want to do crossword puzzles. What about politics? It can be very contentious, but it can be helpful to know who has similar beliefs and you can join a political club or even a party. And what about churches? telling people that were part of the UCC at least gives folks a sense of what kind of theology they will find when they come in the door. Also, what kind of worship. So if you want something that's a bit more evangelical or Catholic, you would know to go to one of those churches. But what happens when we take all of this too far? What happens when we don't use categories to make sense of the world, but to start to divide it up? That's when we have a problem, isn't it? Now, I could say, I'm from Lebanon, and you all are from West Lebanon, and never the two shall meet. But that wouldn't be healthy, would it? It's a one community. And of course, the fact is, those of you from Lebanon and West Lebanon could actually say to me, Steve, you are not from Lebanon. You're a Flatlander. You weren't born in New Hampshire. I come from outside New York, so I don't have any ego problem. But we can look at our community and we can see how there have been times when Lebanon and West Lebanon have not always been on the same page, and when people have found ways to draw differences. And then we also see when there are times when the two parts of town come together and are actually trying to be one community. That's a good thing. And that's something we have to work for. When we look at the Bible, we often see a world that's very different from our own. But how different was it, really? Yes, we claim to be a small d democratic, meritocratic society where everybody is equal and everybody's the same. But in truth, how many people have gotten a leg up in life because of who their father or their mother was? We've said that so-and-so should be able to do something just based on what we knew of their parents. And sometimes that works out, and sometimes it doesn't. When I was preparing the sermon, I read a wonderful little story in a commentary by William Barclay. And some of you may be familiar with the Daily Bible Study series, and it's an old text, but it's good. And T.E. Lawrence, who you may remember as Lawrence of Arabia, had huge fame and renown after his exploits in the First World War. And afterwards, he wanted to drop out of the spotlight. And indeed, he took on an alter ego, and he joined the RAF, and he enlisted as an aircraftman. So just an enlistedman, not an officer anymore. Well, Lawrence was good friends with Thomas Hardy, the poet, and he'd gone to visit him one day. And while he was there, he was in uniform, and the mayoress of Dorchester also came to visit. And she was shocked that this plumbing, this enlistedman, was there. And she was even more scandalized when she found out that they would be sharing tea. So she turned to Mrs. Hardy and in French expressed her shock and dismay at the situation. And an uncomfortable silence ensued. And finally, Lawrence, in perfect French, said, perhaps you are in need of an interpreter. Mrs. Hardy does not speak French. So, Dorchester made not one, but two faulty assumptions. How often have we done that? Closer to home and more recently, in the parsonage where I live, we have a portrait of my father hanging in the living room. And many times over the years, right up to this past week, people have commented on how much I look like my dad. Now, people from the First Congregational Church, at least some of them, will already know what I'm going to say, but for those of you who don't, that seems like a perfectly reasonable thing, doesn't it? Right? Usually you'll see some aspect of a mother or a father and a child. However, in this case, I am adopted. So there's no biological connection between me and the guy in the picture. So he's my father. Unless adopted kids are like dogs and they take on the aspect of their owners. There's a psychological predisposition to see the connection, to assume that people are connected there. But it still is wrong. People should be judged on their own. And one of the things that Jesus taught us, one of the things Jesus came to help us understand and to know as he reinterpreted Scripture, was that God's people weren't just one tribe, but that we were all God's children. And that sounds really obvious, and we should be happy accepting that. But in reality, we are all too quick to draw lines and to find reasons that that one person or that one group shouldn't be let in, that they should be cut out. Who are we? How would you define yourself? Is it by your politics? Is it from your community? Is it from your ancestry or your ethnicity? I would suggest that if we're sitting here this morning, the way we should be identifying ourselves is as followers of Jesus Christ. We're Christians. We're not Republicans. We're not Democrats. We're not New Hampshireites. We're not Flatlanders. We're not from Lebanon. We're not from West Lebanon. We are all Christians. We are all members of the body of Christ. We share that in common. So rather than find things that can divide us, opinions that will push us apart, let us focus on those things that will draw us together. It doesn't mean we always agree, or we want to sing the same hymn, go to the same movies. But it does mean that we recognize in each person here a brother or a sister. Every person here is a neighbor. Every person here is a friend. Every person here, look around. You have to look around right now. Every person you see or wave at is a beloved child of God. To some people, those are fighting words. But to those of us in the church, those should be the words we offer in response to the question, who are you?